The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network. I'm not afraid, to take a stand.
Off the Record with Chivago Lang is brought to you by Burger King, the Cleveland Clinic, the Digital Transformation Unit, Grand Bahama News, RF Bank and Trust, and Rawstar Assurance.
Welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Chivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call today, the numbers to do so are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316, 3256 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259 on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. So you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. That's 439-3043. We are live on Cable Bahamas, channel 969. That's the way my mother listens to the show. Or you can catch us on BTC Flow Channel 612. That's BTC Flow Channel 612. So we've got quite a bit to discuss today. But before we do so, we do have a guest for the first few moments. A gentleman you know who's very active, always been active, really out there pushing for men and men's issues and trying to help men in distress and trying to help men not in distress but seeking to find their way. We have the one and only David Williams with us. How are you doing, David?
Wonderful, sir. Thank you very much, Minister Lang, for being on the show as usual. Thanks for always giving us the opportunity and the chance.
Anytime, my friend. Anytime. So, you know, anytime we're talking to you, you don't come just to talk. You come to tell us what's going on. So there's something going on in relation to International Men's Day. You want to talk to us about it?
Yes, sir. As part of the International Men's Day, which is November 19, that's the official day. But we always have a series of events leading up to International Men's Day.
Right.
And so for the month of September, which is actually next week, Tuesday, a week from today, we're planning to take your fathers, take your school day.
Mm.
Now, someone may say, but I always take my children to school. And so what we're asking our fathers, and in the case of where you may not have a father, we're asking for a father figure or a mentor to sit down with those children, have some lunch, have some breakfast, and even do some reading in the class. We have sent a letter to the Assistant Director of Education, and we also took letters to a number of schools requesting that they encourage the fathers to take their children and spend some time with them, even if only, like I say, an hour with breakfast, lunch, or read with their children. So that's what we are planning for September. We're hoping to get as much men, as much father figures, to ask for an uncle or a godfather, or just a mentor. We're hoping to ask them to get involved in such an event like this. And then we're planning a National Men's March on the 24th. That's Saturday, the 24th of September, beginning at Christie Park and ending at Christie Park. Now, last year, we were blessed. We were led by the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, accompanied by the Bahamas Department of Corrections. And the Commodore, Dr. King, was a part of that march, as well as the Acting Commissioner, Dawn Clare. And so we're hoping to get their participation this time to lead the march, as well as the Royal Bahamas Police Force. And we have commitments from a number of organizations. We're looking at the Pathfinders, a number of marching bands, Boys Brigade, and others. But the idea behind it is men marches in zero suicide. That is the theme this year. Because of the mental challenges that we know men are faced with. And we want to do our part to reach out to our men and boys. Now, for your listeners, I want them to know we are working all year. So we're not just working leading up to November 19. From January, we're having various events. We are in the schools. We're in the prison, you name it. We have mentoring programs. And so we have ongoing programs, but I'll just stop because I know there may be some questions you might want to ask me.
Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. You know, when you were children to school day, and you, because I said, yeah, I do that practically every day, except when I'm traveling. But, you know, one time, the school that my son goes to had on Valentine's Day, you the school and sit and have lunch with the children.
And yes.
Do you know they were doing it in the gym? Do you know that when I walked into that gym, who I carry to school every day, he started crying.
Oh, wow.
I'm telling you, he tried to do his best to hide his face, et cetera, but he teared up. And so that just goes to show you, yes, the routine of taking them is something you do, but especially something like that where you want to sit down with them and they get to see everybody see you do that. It's a moving thing for the child.
Yes, sir. Yes. So and so I'm just appealing to the man out there. You don't have a child or you have older children already out of school, college. I'm saying just for that day, go to the school in your community that's nearest to you. Reach out to the principal, the guidance counselor, and say, I wish to be a part of this program. And even better than that, a number of us actually plan on treating the boys. And so I'm a part of a program at Uriah Maxey School. I'm taking a team in there actually tomorrow, Wednesday, Friday, as well as I'll be at the boys and girls school. And so we're saying mental child, just treat them to breakfast, treat them to lunch, go into a classroom, just read a class. I know you're busy, but only a half an hour. And let them see that there are many good men who are prepared to be a part of the initiative. I want to give my cell number if somebody might want to reach out to me for more information or be a part of the mentoring program that I'm having. The number is 433-6917. 433-6917. You can call me. You can WhatsApp me if you wish to be a part of it or a part of my regular schedule of schools that I take men in to talk to our at-risk men.
David, you mentioned the march and the march's theme, prevent suicide. Do you think many people know that there's a higher suicide rate among men than women?
I would hope they do. They can Google it, look up the statistics in the Bahamas. I had Dr. Sean Knowles on a number of times the events, and he talked about it. But the statistics bear it out. You can go on the International Men's Day website. Okay, you can go there and you'll see the information. Yes, statistics have shown that men outnumber women, not that we want to compare, a greater percentage when it comes to suicide. Now, it does not say, and are actually successful and carry it out, follow through with it. So the suicide rate among men is extremely much, much higher when we look at that. And it may be because of the fact that as men, we agree that we need a space. That's one of the things international men's are now looking at, bringing together a man and a space where we call it man talk, where men will just talk. And on another note, Dr. Robin Roberts, who is working with us as a partnership with us, next week he's running a stool. They're running a number of prostate tests, absolutely free at the government clinics. And while time, and it'll be allowed to give the date, but you can look in the news media or WhatsApp me, call me. I want to be a part of it. And I'm encouraging more men to go there and get their prostate check.
If you have the dates, you should give it.
Apparently, I don't have it on me right now, right?
Well, right. When you get it, you text it to me and I will mention it. I'll mention it to folks, okay? Because that's very important for men to be vigilant about prostate issues. And I am telling you from personal experience, you need to be vigilant about this matter.
Yeah, I agree. And I myself, being over 50, have had mine done numerous times. I've had the finger, I've had the blood test. And so we're saying, even if you're afraid, I'm saying come and at least let them do the blood test. You know, because international men say we're reaching out to men, we're reaching out to boys. This is what we're seeking to do. And another thing I'll mention, you'll hear more about it. We're honoring 50 men as part of the 50th anniversary. Again, persons can WhatsApp me, text me, 433-6917. I will send them the nomination forms because we want to honor 50 men who have missed Bahamas, whether it's through sports, academic, politics, and we also have provisions for boys. Okay, so it's not just only men, because we want 50 years later, when history reflects, it will reflect that we honored 50 men as part of the 50th anniversary of the country. But I want to say, men, join me. Let's go to a number of schools. Let's have some breakfast. Let's read to our boys. Let's have lunch with them. You know, the challenge we face, and I can speak this after 20 years of prison ministries, there's some 1,300 plus men. I was just up there yesterday again. And, you know, what is so amazing, it still bothers me every time I go up there to see so much of our men incarcerated. As a matter of fact, we discovered that 70%, my last statistics in 2019, 70% of our men were under the age of 35 who were incarcerated. That's something that you and I, we ought to give some serious thought. I said 7 out of 10 men incarcerated at the Department of Corrections are 35 years and younger. We have a lot of work to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, man, listen, anytime you need us, call on us, and we're here to help get the message out anytime.
Thanks. I appreciate it. You always give me an opportunity, Minister Lang. That's what I always appreciate you for. And I will send you that information for the dates for the prostate and the various clinics beginning next week.
Super. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it. That's my David Williams with the men's International Men's Day events coming up. So, you know, get involved. Do what you got to do to make your difference. The only difference you can make is your difference. And so that's the call. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Take a stand. Take a stand. Everybody.
Burger King wants you to enjoy a classic sandwich so good we've been making it since 1979. Introducing the original chicken sandwich, American style, with fries and a drink for only $7.95, including VAT. This sandwich is made with white meat chicken, lightly breaded and topped with crisp, fresh lettuce, creamy mayonnaise, tomatoes, and lots of American cheese on a seed bun. Get your American original chicken sandwich combo for only $7.95, including VAT, at Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can ease the need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, everybody.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang. Just so glad you could join us today. If you want to give us a call, the numbers to do so are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 4279 6, or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. As you may by now know, the president of Botswana is on an official visit to the Bahamas. Mokgweetsi Masisi is here, President Mokgweetsi Masisi. He is in the country on an official visit to the Bahamas. This will be the second time that a president of Botswana has made an official visit to the Bahamas. the last time that a president of Botswana made an official visit to the country, and I might note at the invitation of the prime minister then, as is the case today, was in 2000 when Festus Mogae, President Festus Mogae, was in fact invited to pay an official visit to the country. So this will be the second time in basically a little over two decades that we have hosted a president of Botswana. Botswana, as you might know, is a country in southern Africa, sub-Saharan Africa. It's one of those landlocked countries, meaning on no side of it will you find any open water. Botswana is bounded in the north by Zambia, in the west by Namibia, by Zimbabwe in the northeast, and by South Africa in the south. And it is a country which actually has quite an impressive story insofar as its economic and political development is concerned. Botswana achieved independence in 1966 under Sir Seretse Khama, and he largely laid the foundation for what is oftentimes referred to as the Botswana miracle, because from the time it became, it went from the time it became independent in 1966, it was one of the poorest countries in the world. And today, being certainly one of the most thriving economies in Africa, and I might know one of the countries with the highest economic growth over the course of its independent history, you know, in the world, not just among African countries. You know, largely driven by its stellar management of its diamond resources and other natural resources, Botswana has really become an impressive place to note in the African region, and it has maintained significant political stability over that period. Strong institutions known for limited corruption and ranking high on the various assessments of corruption by international groupings, etc. And so it has had an impressive run. And so we entertain at the University of the Bahamas tomorrow a lecture by President Masisi. And I'm going to be moderating that session, so I am not able to conduct the show tomorrow, and unfortunately we won't be able to host it there at the event either. So when you don't see me, you don't hear from me. I'm doing other business that way. But it's interesting and exciting times for sure. All right. So that's Botswana. Get to know some of these other countries in the world that we don't pay that much attention to. You know, they have stories to tell, some of them. Now, I had occasion to look at the video of the encounter between the police and a student. I had heard about it, but I only had an opportunity to see the video, and I don't typically was like to comment on the stuff until I've had an opportunity myself to take a look at things. I watched the video over and over again. I ain't gonna lie to y'all, right? I looked at it over and over and over again. I watched the interaction between the police and the student from Stevie Bethel, Wellington, Watts was his name, his mom, Natasha Hartley, who both appeared in an article in the newspaper, The Guardian. I listened to what he said. I watched his posture. I watched his behavior. I listened to what the police said, and I watched their posture and their behavior. And I watched this video over and repeatedly, saying if I saw anything new, anything new I could see. And so my immediate question, once I was done watching the video, was, what if this was my child? Now, careful. I didn't ask what if this was my child simply from the perspective that what if the police did that to my child? That was not my first thing. I was asking, what if my child behaved the way that young Wellington behaved? How would I feel? That's what I asked myself. So watching the video, I watched the video over and repeatedly. I asked, how would I feel if my son had acted the way, and I have a 15-year-old son, that my son is 15, just turned 15 last month. How would I feel watching him behave the way Wellington behaved? And you know what I said? I would feel, again, I'm only talking about what I saw on the video. I don't know what happened after the video. I don't know what happened before the video. I only know what happened on the video. If I saw my son act the way that Wellington acted, I would say, but that's a fairly decent young man. I mean, he was composed. He was not rash. He was not rude. He even said at the end of the statement, but I'm looking for some sir. And so I said to myself, I would have had no difficulty with my son's behavior in that circumstance in terms of what I saw on the video. No difficulty whatsoever. I watched it over and over. I didn't see any intimidating, threatening, insulting, disrespectful gesture by Wellington. And I said, my son acted that way, I'd be okay with it. I would be absolutely okay with it. Right? Okay with it. But one caveat, but okay with it. Then I asked, I said, now, if that were my son and the police behaved the way the police behaved, I would not be okay with that. I would not be okay with that. I would not be. I love the Royal Bahamas Police Force. I love the police officers in this country. I am grateful and thankful for the police officers in this country. But if I saw my son subjected to what Wellington was subjected to in the circumstance I saw on the video, I would not be pleased with those officers' behavior. I would not be. I would not be. I would not be. Not with their reaction. I would not be pleased with their words. I would not be pleased with their use of the baton. I would not be pleased with their the way they grabbed that young man's shirt as if he were the threatening something. I would not be pleased with that. I would not be pleased with that. And I note that the police force says it's concerning. So the police force appears itself, they're doing an investigation, but they appear not to be pleased with it either. I would not be pleased with it. I'm not even going to get to this, oh, that's just the police. Yeah, you have some police who may act that way, but this the general police force in the country ain't that. Right? So I'm not getting caught up in all of that. I'm not ascribing this to the police. I'm talking about the officers in the circumstances. I would not be pleased. You know, his mother said initially she sided with the police because she heard he was disrespectful and what have you. So she has a mother who's honest and authentic enough to say, you know what? You know, if he did and he acted that way, and maybe he could have acted that way, I would the police. But when she saw the video, as when I saw the video, no, that's a little challenging. I'm gonna lie to you, it's a little challenging. So the first question I asked was, what if that was my son? I would be happy with my son's behavior, but I would be unhappy with the police's behavior. I would not have been happy with those two police officers' behavior. I would not have been. Now, I know there are children in this country who can be awfully rude, disgusting. Huh? There's no question about that. Some of them can even be threatening. But I'm watching the video, so me not getting caught up in that incident. That's the first question. So then I thought about the responses, the police force's response. The police are saying, no, we're investigating this. This is it looks on the face of it, it looks concerning and so forth and so forth. Wonderful. You know, we'll see what comes about from the investigation. The parent, obviously disturbed, and why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you be? You know, that young man was subjected to some physical handling that, man, I don't want that to happen in private, and I don't want that to happen on no video in perpetuity for people to see. Why? Right? And so as a society, we look at it and we think, no, man, I'm not the way. Even, you know, I think the police will tell you that they do not train officers to behave that way. If you are threatening, if you are resisting arrest, if you are that kind of stuff, and they have to use sufficient force to restrain, I mean, that's understandable. Totally understandable, but I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it in the video. Maybe my blind eyes, my seeing eyes was deceiving me. I just couldn't see it. So maybe this becomes a video that could be a piece of force training for officers and future officers. Now, let me tell you what I know to be so. You see, sometimes people's behavior in the moment is not about the incident in the moment, but about the moments that preceded them. What do I mean? Sometimes officers can have had experiences independent of their encounter with Wellington Walks, independent of it, that have primed them for a certain aggression, have given them preconceived notions about black male posturing, and that sometimes you can bring those things into an incident. Now, people recorded the video, and the police was not doing the recording. Therefore, and you know, and you could see other people were around. Sometimes people are prompted by the witnessing that they see and how they read that witnessing. I've seen it happen many times. I've seen young men get brushed up by other young men, and I could see that they would have let it go in the moment. They would have let it go. But then they looked at other people's faces and saw the reaction that almost said to them, but you're a punk, babe. Are you going to let that happen to you? And then all of a sudden, bam, they did something that they would not have done had the reaction of others not prompted them to do so. A classic case was Will Smith at the Oscars. Chris Rock tells a joke. He laughs at the joke. His wife, Jada, smiles at the joke. And then gets a frown, an almost embarrassing, insulted look. And then Will Smith reacts, and the rest is history. So sometimes what happens before an event dictates what happens in the event, independent of the event. And that's why, you know, if we are, we have to almost try to be super conscientious, because we all do it. I'm not talking just these police, and I'm not saying that's what happened, but we all do it. You snap at your child, you snap at your spouse, you snap at your co-worker, not because of what they did, you know. You snap at them because of all the other things that you wanted to snap at, but didn't snap at, but this just now gave you an opportunity. Lessons in civility. Lessons in the caution we have to have when dealing with authority. I heard the young man said he was reaching in his bag to get something. And when I was pulled over by the police in the States one time, driving in a very rural area with my son on our way to Orlando to meet up with family at Christmas one time, when the police stopped us, I told my son, listen, don't you move your ear, nose, eyelid, eyebrow, put your hands on the dot, and you stay as still as you can. Because I know me and I know you, but I don't know him. Right? Because these are the times in which we live. They are strange. They are awkward. They can be unforgiven. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion. We'll be back after this break.
Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send me
I ain't Marsh the car. The lady run into me, Marsh the car.
I hope she had insurance.
If she had insurance, she hop out, pull out her phone, pull out the Royal Star Assurance app, and bang, she was on a video call with an RSA rep, sending pictures of her damage, my damage, filing a claim on the spot.
For real? Our insurance have that kind of app?
You gotta go to RSA for that.
Download the RSA app today, or visit rsabahamas.com to submit your claim online. Live chat available weekdays 9 to 5.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, send me know.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're so glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796 or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, regarding the video with the police and student, police are sometimes being counterproductive by causing traffic to slow down unnecessarily when addressing a sole motorist. And that's connected to the video. I'm not sure. But okay. Can you please provide David Williams' telephone number? Surely, David. David's number is 433-6917. That's 433-6917. He did send back the dates for the prostate screening. Prostate screening clinics will be held as follows. On September 19th at Elizabeth Estates Clinic. On September 21st, Flamingo Gardens Clinic. On September 26th, South Beach Clinic. September 28th, Fleming Street Clinic. And these are all free. Registration starts at 6 p.m. Clinics end at 9 p.m. That's September 19th, Elizabeth Estates Clinic. September 21, Flamingo Gardens Clinic. September 26, South Beach Clinic. And September 28, Flamingo Street Clinic. Man, you know, I'm going to tell you all something. When I was about 38, I listened to a lecture given by a medical professional who said that when you turn 40, that you should have an annual physical and you should begin to have your screening done for your PSA. PSA is a prostate specific antigen, because what happens is either as we get older, men's the prostate gland is the gland that produces the semen and lubrication for your stuff. In terms of where it sits, it like is in a very complicated place, right? It's a part of your reproductive system, and it's involved with all the functions you have in respect of your reproductive system, right? And the prostate over time gets enlarged, and then that enlargement can produce more of these prostate-specific antigens. We can get y'all to have some experts come on and talk y'all about it. But the prostate is very close to the bladder. The bladder, in fact, sits on top of it. And it also surrounds your urethra. And so if it enlarges and swells, it can cause issues with incontinence and the like. But of course, you want to screen for the PSA, the prostate-specific antigen, because one of the things that could be true is infection could be happening, and that could cause your PSA to rise, or you could actually have developed prostate cancer, which is very common in men, especially Black men, right? And so the doctor said, you want to screen for this. Well, I took it seriously. At 38 years old, I took it seriously. When I turned 40, I started doing my annual physicals. And about 5 years ago, my prostate specific antigen, the PSA, it's a blood test you do, started elevating. It was around 2 is okay. Anything under 4 typically is okay. When it gets over four, you start to have concerns, right? The doctors start to have concerns. That don't mean you have cancer, but it can be a marker. And so they start to monitor that, especially in terms of the rapidity of the elevation. Well, 5 years to now, mine had significant elevation. And, I then had to go and do some MRIs to see if they could see any structural challenge, any indicators could be cancer. And the first couple of times that I did it was no, and then was marginal. And then the last time it seemed to indicate that there was something going on there with the prostate, in the prostate. And so once you get to that kind of place, then the doctors want you to do a biopsy. All right, and a biopsy is they take specimens of the suspicious areas of the prostate that they believe that they're seeing these abnormalities. And so what then happens is the pathologists, the people who look at these specimens, will look at the cells in the prostate, and they will look to see if the cells are normal, because cancer cells range from looking very much like normal cells to looking very much like nothing that looks like a normal cell. And that gives them an indication sometimes of the extent of the aggressiveness of the cancer, if that's what is there. And so that's been my journey. And so I had to do that biopsy. And I have found that I have early stage prostate cancer. And I've been dealing with that for a couple of months now. And I'm telling you this today. I some folks who were at home, I shared this. I told that I was going to decide whether or not I wanted to share that. But if the information I got at 38 helped me to detect what I have at 56 earlier than I might have, then sharing with you the importance of this screening and this vigilance is why I am doing it today. For no other reason than that. I do it reluctantly. I don't do it to get any sympathy. That's not as was required. I am fortunate that the diagnosis that I have does not reflect an aggressive, unfavorable scenario. But man, if you love yourself and you love your family, you will stop being freaky about doing the necessary, which is get your screening, go and get your checkups. It's not just your prostate, for other things too, your heart and your kidneys, your liver and the like, so that you can detect issues early and be able to go and address them as I am having to do and to make the decisions you have to make. One of my sons, I asked him, I asked all of my kids what are the lessons, most important lessons they thought I taught them. One of them said, one of the things you always say is, this is life. Meaning, things happen and you have to deal with them. But one thing is certain is you can't deal with what you don't pay attention to. You can't deal with what you don't know. And so we have to be vigilant. We have to be vigilant for ourselves, and we have to be vigilant for the people in our lives who depend on us. And the screenings are available. The dates again are September 19th for at Elizabeth Estates Clinic, September 21 at Flamingo Gardens Clinic, September 26th at South Beach Clinic, and September 28th at Fleming Street Clinic. And so make yourselves available, and of course you nothing. And all you can get is information either to that all is well or that you need to do further inquiry and so forth, so that you can, fortunately for most men, prostate cancer is treatable, right? And there are options, and these days many advances have been made in the treatment of prostate cancer so that you survive it, and not only survive it, thrive after it. But it is necessary for it to be picked up, detected, and then addressed. And one day we'll have someone come on who can provide us with more information than I could provide. And again, I have never had any symptoms of anything. So I wasn't prompted by any symptoms of anything. And today I have no symptoms of anything. My prompting was merely the regular surveillance that I have done of my own body through annual physicals that tells me what is going on in my body. So I was able to know when I was pre-diabetic and able to address that with lifestyle changes, to able to know where any deficiency existed in any particular area because you do the physicals. We spend money on all kinds of things. So don't tell me about no money. Yes, for some people, it could really be an issue of money, but the hospital and those, certainly NHI has and makes available the opportunity for those registered to go ahead and do these annuals because they are preventative, right? It's entirely better to address a disease before it happens and after it happens. Trust me. Once it happened, you're on a different path in life, right? And so some of us, even if it costs us the money, ain't no issue, because if we don't drink some stuff we just drink or smoke some stuff we just smoke or eat some stuff we just eat for a little bit, we could have the money to do the necessary to go get a life-saving checkup. Right? Not talking about this too much longer in my life. Just wanted to share that, given the context of what David shared today, to hope for hoping that it'll prompt you the way I was prompted at 38 years of age to do something that I had been doing now going on 16 years of my life, which is getting these annual checkups to see what's going on in my body. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We're going to take a break for news, and when we come back, we will continue our discussions. We'll be back after the news break.
Take a stand. Take a stand.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Too many debt bills? Overdue on loan payments? Improve your credit score and credit report with the Bahamas Credit Bureau. Shrink your debt payments with a debt consolidation loan and built-in savings that pays you 5% interest. Call 352-6676.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. Buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Want to reach your Grand Bahama customers? Then call Barefoot Marketing at 827-4578 or message them for ad rates via their Facebook page. Advertising opportunities now include classified ads too. Keep up with all the latest Grand Bahama News in the Nassau Guardian newspaper every Tuesday.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you want to give us a call, the numbers are 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316. 325-4316 or 325-4259. That's 325-4259. You can text us on 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Or you can WhatsApp me on 439-3043. This text says, thank you for having the courage to share this. We must all take our health seriously. As terrifying as it is, life deals us all on what it surprises. We appreciate you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I was reading, you know, I read the papers. I read The Guardian, I read The Tribune, and I was reading The Tribune, and I saw an extraordinary article by Neil Hartnell about an investor, I mean, not an investor, a business strategist by the name of Robert Millard, who sent a letter to The Tribune responding to a letter written by Terence Gape, who's one of the senior attorneys in the country and in Sydney and Grand Bahama. Gape was essentially applauding the government for its vocal lashing of the Grand Bahama Port Authority for what it says is its failure to do its job. And you would have been privy to that, all that kind of talk by the government of late, from the Prime Minister to the Minister of Foreign Affairs and others. Well, Mr. Millard, who did a, he did a report for the Grand Bahama Port Authority as a consultant, seeking, I imagine, to kind of help them with the way forward. And he took exception to Terrence Gates' comments. And here's what I want to read in part, his letter. Listen to this, folks. This is listen to this. He said, this is Mr. Millard. I would imagine that most people who have had a serious interest in Freeport's development over the past two decades would know who I am. I am a business strategist. He says, my clients are mostly large law, consulting, accounting, and other professional service firms. I lived in Freeport with my wife and two children from 2006 to 2010. I was then and have also since been involved with quite a number of Grand Bahama projects with various organizations, all aimed at restoring and growing Freeport and advancing the lives of the Haitians. So I read Terrence Gates' document dated September 10th with great interest, but also disbelief. Freeport, listen to this now, folks. This is Mr. Millard. Freeport is like a house that has been vandalized. The person who did the vandalizing is now trying either to buy the house from its owners for a little money because it is damaged, or pushing those owners to sell it to somebody else again because it is damaged, while at the same time preventing them from fixing it. Can I read that for y'all again? This is Mr. Millard's comment on Freeport. Freeport is like a house that has been vandalized. The person who did the vandalizing is now trying either to buy the house from its owners for a little money because it's damaged, or pushing those owners to sell it to somebody else again because it's damaged, while at the same time preventing them from fixing it. That's an extraordinary, extraordinary clean analogy. He says, from the view of investors, almost every clause in the Hawksbill Creek Agreement that was designed to attract them into the port area has over decades been negated by government measures that duplicate or frustrate responsibilities delegated by the treaty to the Grand Bahama Port Authority. Let me read it for you again. From the view of investors, almost every clause in the Hawksbill Creek Agreement that was designed to attract them into the port area has, over decades, been negated by the government measures, that duplicate or frustrate responsibilities delegated by the treaty to the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The result is unsurprising. Apart from licensee businesses that depend on things outside the Bahamas, such as the Freeport Container Port, the Grand Bahama Shipyard, and Buckeye Bahamas, it is difficult to find any that operate at anything close to their potential. Absolutely incredible what Mr. Millard is asserting. So, mind you now, so this isn't him, he's not just asserting this at the Davis administration, which has only been in office for two years. He's asserting this at the Christie administration, the Minnis administration that it proceeded. At the Christie administration that preceded it, the Minnis administration, and at the Ingram administration that preceded it. So he is an equal opportunity accuser. Yeah. And he's saying that these administrations, have done things that have simply made made Freeport unattractive to investors, either by providing outside of Freeport the same kinds of benefits, or frustrating what the Port Authority could do to license people. That's incredible. That's just incredible that he makes that claim. So, see, you all will recall that I have said that the government, claiming that the Port Authority is the reason for Freeport and Grand Mama being in the shape it is, it's to me an illegitimate claim. At best, a partially true claim, at best. Because at the same time, the government cannot demonstrate how its ownership and control of areas outside of Freeport have benefited from the fact that it wasn't owned and controlled by the Grand Mama Port Authority. There are no massive developments taking place in the East or in the West. There's no thriving economy in the East or in the West. There's no thriving in many of our islands where the government of Bahamas is in control and then fully in charge. Where the investors? Where's all the economic activity? Except yesterday, Deputy Prime Minister told us that billions and billions and billions of dollars, billions of dollars in investments coming. And so, you know, we'll have to see. So I've said that that's not so. But this gentleman is on the other side of life now. He's saying, well, the government has actually crippled the Grand Bahama Port Authority. Crippled it. And I wonder, I literally, listen to me, God is my witness, I wonder, is that what the St. George's believe? Is that what the Haywards believe? Do the Haywards and the St. George's literally believe that the government of the Bahamas has deteriorated its attractiveness, Freeport's attractiveness, and have frustrated their efforts to move forward, and that is why Freeport has not moved thus far? Could we really finally be at the real cause of Freeport's stagnation? Could we finally now know what it is? It's the government, according to Mr. Millard. Is that true? Well, that would be strange. That would be odd for me. Let me tell you why that would be odd for me. Because I have spoken to principals and leadership of the Port Authority, and I have been told myself on occasions over the years that they have many things in the pipeline, many things in the pipeline. And they believe the Freeport's future was bright. But was not the government of the government the same government, the government? I mean, like the government of the Bahamas was the government of the Bahamas, maybe a different admission, but the government of the Bahamas. When those things were said, when the container port came, when the shipyard came, when Hutchison Whampoa came, when Polymers International came, when Buckeye came, all these people came. The government of the Bahamas was the government of the Bahamas, and the Grand Bahama Port Authority had the same Lockman Creek Agreement in place. In fact, when the some provisions of the Oxford Creek Agreement deteriorated or expired, the government of Mammoth went in and restored them. So my question for Mr. Millard would be, and I mean, I honestly, I would be interested, what was duplicated that has deteriorated Freeport's attractiveness? So he's suggesting never have any incentive in any other area of the Bahamas that Freeport could have so that Freeport could be attractive. Therefore, those areas could not benefit from similar incentives for themselves. Is that the suggestion? And what is it that the government is doing to frustrate the port? Like, what is it? So if you're an investor out there from Saudi Arabia and you wanted to come into Freeport to invest and you decided you want to build a big hotel in Freeport, what is it that the government of the Bahamas would do to frustrate you? I'd like to know. Maybe somebody, you could listen, if you're in the port, if you're in the Port Authority, if you're the owner of the port and you want to text me, you could use a bubble so that I don't have to know exactly it's you. I would happily listen to you to tell me what it is that the government does to frustrate you. I'd like to know. I really would, honestly. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Do we still have the caller? Okay. Now, I know how the government could frustrate the port of his wishes. It has happened in the past. It could happen. You see, so how? Well, there was a time when, under the Pindling administration, in order for a licensee in the Freeport area to have the go-ahead, they had to have that approval done in Nassau. That could be frustrating. So I could see that. But Ingram stopped that. And as far as I know, it ain't changed. But, you know, tell me, I'm happy to get information to know, because this is an extraordinary claim by Mr. Miller. Miller says, good afternoon. Okay, you were in a meeting. You want me to give you a quick catch up? Sorry, that's impossible. I'm talking about some claims by this guy, this gentleman, the strategist about crime on the Port Authority. We have a call on the line. Go ahead, call. I'll be listening to you.
So long, how you doing?
Hey, I'm right here, man. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. So awesome. You're talking about a place that I spent 2 years off and on during COVID, working in Freeport, man, and I grew to love Freeport. Freeport has so much potential, but like you're saying, we need to find out who really is stifling Freeport. We need to find that out, because I've been going there, like I said, for 2 years, 1 week in Nassau, 1 week in Freeport for 2 years, sitting down talking with some of the movers and shakers of Freeport, and some people want the government to take over Freeport, and I listen to them. I do not wish that to happen. I do not wish for the government to take over Freeport, because if the government takes over Freeport, Freeport will be just like 8 Mile. I mean, it'll go by 8 Mile Rock and West End and like Howard Island, because it was Everson George and the other gentleman Grove who did it first. But if they didn't do what they did to Freeport, Freeport will be just like an ordinary family island. You know that, and I know that. So I do not wish for that to go back to the government, ever. Seriously.
I got you, brother.
Hello?
Hey, yes, I got you. I heard you.
Yeah, okay. So we need to find out what is the problem that's stifling Freeport. I talk to people. I talk to homeowners who live in Freeport, who millionaires, who old ones and young ones who have second homes in Freeport. They love Freeport. You can't get them to come to Nassau? I'm serious.
It is, my brother, a mystery. Now, here's the mystery. Now, it's not a mystery to me why Freeport doesn't have more economic activity. That's not a mystery to me. But it is a mystery to me that the government of the Bahamas charges that the Port Authority is the reason. And then now Mr. Millard charges that it's the government of the Bahamas. So we got two problems. So in other words, if both of them are true, you got to get rid of the two. I don't mean get rid of the Davis administration. I mean, you got to get rid of the government of the Bahamas. You got to get rid of the government of the Bahamas, and then you got to get rid of the Port Authority.
I believe, to be honest with you, I believe that the port has more to do with the state Freeport is in right now. I do believe that because they control it, you know, and it's like the only thing really that is keeping Freeport
Let me ask you a question. If you're the owners of the port and you collect money from licensees, right? That's how you make your money. If you get the business license fees and you get all these other things, like what good could it be to you to stop investors from coming in Freeport?
But something is happening. You know it now. You know the reason why. I have an idea, but you know the reason why. Because
tell me what your idea is.
Buddy, it's just that we, okay. See, I think like the Chinese, the more little ants I have, the better it is for me. I don't need no big ants, and I'm using, you know, I don't need no big ants to control nothing. I need these little ants to be doing what they're doing.
But the Chinese are not a part of the licensing machinery. They are not.
What I'm saying is this. If you got, okay, let's say you got 200, I guess they got more than that. But if you got, let's say, 500,000 businesses or Freeport, you collect licensees from them, then you should want more business to come into Freeport so you could collect more business. So something is wrong with that because I don't see, you know, what's going on. Because if I could have me 100,000 businesses in Freeport and I collect in licensees from them, it's better for me.
Man, I can tell you this much. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. I think that Freeport is so critical to the Bahamas' future that it might be useful to have an independent investigation or an independent inquiry into Freeport. I really do. Not no government bias thing or a port bias thing, but to find out, I'm telling you, I don't know, I don't understand it. You're listening to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. We'll be back after this.
I'm not afraid to take a stand.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it. At a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time, I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shivago Lang, your host. So glad that you could join us here today on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. So glad you could join us. We're talking about Mr. Rob Millard's letter to the Tribune regarding the Port Authority and the government, and the fact that Mr. Millard objects to Mr. Terence Gates's applauding of the government for its berating of the port for not carrying out its responsibilities. I want to read this for you. This is what Mr. Millard says in this letter. If Freeport were allowed to function as intended by the Hawkesbill Creek Agreement, Bahamians employed today as waiters and low-skilled workers would instead be entrepreneurs, professionals, and expert technicians servicing the needs of a city of at least 250,000 people. Listen again. If you're in Freeport and you are a waiter and a low-skilled worker, Mr. Millard says if the government allowed Freeport to function as it ought, you would be instead entrepreneurs and professionals and expert technicians in a city servicing the needs of some 250,000 people. He said properties that were for sale when I lived in Freeport but then a decade ago would not still be languishing on realtors' websites, even at heavily reduced prices with no prospective buyers in sight. I could go on. He says the only way for Freeport will thrive or even just survive is for the government, the Grand Bahama Port Authority, the licensees and other key stakeholders to join forces and together develop solutions for the problems that prevent the city from being the most exciting investment destination in the region. Now, he says, so he's not just the outlining the problem. He says, which it could be, of that I am certain. These would include transparent and fair systems to approve investment and immigration. Okay, so what he says, transparent and fair systems to approve investment and immigration for the people that businesses need to compete in global markets. Updated regulations governing the functions, responsibility, and prerogatives of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And C, a proper seawall or dike along the North Shore, at least so the horror of Hurricane Dorian never happens again, and the whole city is protected from rising sea levels caused by global warming. To me, these three are the most important. There are others. Key to all of them is to get rid of the obstacles that prevent the Oxford Creek Agreement from working properly. So, it's the government's fault. But the way you can get to solve the problem is for the government, the board, and the and the licensees to get together and come up with a solution. Man, I'm 56 years old. I've been around for a little bit. We've been trying to get the licensee, the port, and the government together for a long time. Sometimes they got together. And I think that that dialogue is necessary for sure, that you should have that, but I don't know. I don't know. I see, I'm not convinced by his argument. I'm not convinced by his argument that this is the problem. I'm not convinced because, again, how did Hutchison get in Freeport? How did Hutchison come to Freeport? What about the shipyard? When Royal Caribbean wanted to be in Freeport to put a harbor here, well, they couldn't because the people them had exclusive rights to the harbor. So they couldn't do it. Right? The businesses can come to Freeport today and be licensed today. Who stops them? Who stops them? I need to hear from the Port Authority's people whether or not if a business today, see, first of all, you don't need to tell me nothing because I attempt, just prior to the pandemic hitting, I had a client who was seeking to get established in Freeport and they get the license. They at least they were offered the license and then the pandemic hit and that was the end of that for them. So it could happen. It could happen. So and what is required for economic activity for businesses to come in, establish themselves, hire people, buy things that create other businesses and ancillary opportunities? So someone tell me what prevents that from happening today. What prevents a European business entrepreneur, an Asian entrepreneur, an African entrepreneur, a South American entrepreneur, a Central American entrepreneur, an Australian entrepreneur from coming to Freeport, seeking to do business in Freeport or from within Freeport, putting in a license to the Grand Bahama Port Authority and them being licensed. Somebody please answer that for me today because that's the only thing that prevents economic activity from expanding in Freeport. Somebody tell me what that is. If you live in the port, work for the port, if you own the port, please tell me what prevents that from happening today. What prevented it from happening under Ingram, under Christie, under Minnis, under Davis? Please, someone tell me. Until I hear the answer to that, I can't buy this stuff. I cannot buy this fancy talk. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense what the government says about the port, and it doesn't make sense what this is saying. Now, to be honest, I haven't heard the Port Authority itself say anything to the government that didn't make sense. But what I do not understand, cannot understand, is that Mr. Miller, I have no doubt that Mr. Miller writes this, and likely thinks that he is doing a solid for the Port Authority. I'm not doubt. I'm not saying they ask him to. I'm just saying that's what he thinks. So if does the port endorse Mr. Millett's sentiments? Does the owners of the port, the Haywards, the St. George's, endorse this view? And if they do, tell me what prevents. So you're saying to me, and that if I, some of my international contacts who do have business interests, if they decided today, Shivago, we want to set up something in Freeport, that they can't do it because somebody's preventing the port from doing what it has to do to license them, someone tell me if that's true. Please. I'd like to know. this letter appeared. This says, what day did the letter appear? This letter appeared September 12th. September 12th was when that letter seems to have appeared. See, I like to try to just cut to the chase. I like to try to do that. And for me, the bottom line is, if you want people in Nassau and Bimini and Exuma and Turks and Caicos and Canada and the United States, who used to live in Freeport, to come back home, they'd have to have job opportunities, they have to have business opportunities. The only way business opportunities comes to Freeport is if investors, Bahamian or foreign, but to be honest with you, as a catalytic matter, I'm not relying, I don't see that Bahamians will do that. I don't see that. Yeah, some Bahamians will set up businesses and so forth. That's going to happen. But the catalytic effect that Freeport is looking for will happen from international investors. So when a business person sets up business, says, oh, I need to hire some administrative people, I need to hire some frontline people, I need to hire some reduction line people or whatever people I need, or whatever professionals or technical experts I need to hire them, then that's when you get the employment opportunities. When they come here and they have to buy lumber from this place and they have to buy this from the next place, and those places get more business, and or other people see an opportunity to supply them more effectively, and then they get to set up businesses. That's how an economy thrives. So at the end of the day, for Freeport and all of Grand Bahama and all the Bahamas, what it takes is investors, entrepreneurs, business people to come into a place and to set up. I'm a Bahamian. Me and some Bahamians tried our hands at setting up a poultry operation in Freeport. We did our necessary, made our application to the port, and efficiently were approved and set up the operation. It wasn't the port's fault that we are not now in operation. They did the necessary to get us in operation. They were quite cooperative. They actually were quite facilitated. You're telling me a big investor, a medium-sized investor, would be met with obstacles if they tried to come in and be licensed to do business? You would have to be brain dead as the port to do that. Brain dead. You would have to be literally, the government of Hamas would have to literally say to you, no, you cannot approve anything unless I approve it. And is the government of Bahamas saying that to the Port Authority? I don't have one text. You want me to give you the text number again that says that it's 422-4796 or mine, 4393043. Tell me if that's so. Tell me if an investor applying to do business in Freeport would not be able to do business. Because if that is not the case, I don't know what, I cannot buy what Mr. Millard is selling. Nor just as much as I cannot buy what Mr. Gape is selling. I can't buy that either, because I do not support and agree with the government's assertions about the port. I do not. Unless the government ropes itself in with the port. We got a call on the line. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you.
The line.
Yes, sir. How are you?
How are you, sir? I know you are a Grand Bahamian. I know you are a Freeport man. But let me... I had five brothers at one time living in Freeport. I was my mother's only son, never could have taken Freeport. But let me ask you this.
You couldn't take it, or we couldn't take you.
Boy, I couldn't take Freeport. Freeport is going a little slow for me. But let's use a building. Freeport was built for a kitchen, but they try to use it as a front room.
Says who?
No, this is what I came up with. I think Freeport, what they're trying to have Freeport to be, was not what Freeport was designed for. I felt like Freeport was more designed for a lot of big major factories and big different entities like that. Like, you know, they used to do the Epic batteries in the bonded area. They used to do the mattress company. They had a lot of little small Bahamian companies starting in Grand Bahama. I figured that was Freeport was really designed for. Not for no hotels and no. You see how good the port is doing in Grand Bahama? That's what Freeport was designed for. That's how I feel. Now, you're from Grand Bahama. You maybe could tell me different.
Okay. I got you, brother. I would only ask you this question. There are industrial centers all around the world. In China, in Mexico, etc. Do they not have hotels in those centers too? So nobody would. Contrary to that, the port wasn't trying to make Freeport a hotel center. They were trying to make an industrial center. Yeah. So I hear you, but I can't agree with you. The history of the place doesn't bear that out. Go ahead, caller. We're listening to you. Hi, we have a caller on the line. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Hi, yes, how you doing?
Yes, I was just listening to the previous caller, and I don't think you actually really heard what he was saying, because...
No, I heard exactly what he was saying.
No, when I say in terms of you referencing other centers and hotels, that I really think that was irrelevant, because his point was the majority of development was designed for industrial. If you look at how Freeport infrastructure is,
but you can't tell me.
Some of the best roads, and these are how you move goods. But I really think, and based on being from Freeport, I think if we had focused more on the development, IT, industrialization, instead of this tourist-oriented view that really doesn't move us to where we're trying to get, I think we'd be better off ahead.
But you live in Freeport?
I am from Freeport. I live here now.
No, but you cannot live in Freeport or be from Freeport and make that statement. Freeport has all kinds of industrial things happening in it and a couple of hotels.
I'm not arguing that. What I'm saying is the focus, if we had focus
I'm saying to you, how can you talk about the focus being tourism when the place has been focused on attracting the Grand Bahama Shipyard, Polymers International, Syntex, Franklin Chemicals, Buckeye, the Bradford Marine, and these kinds of things? To say that is to ignore the realities on the ground.
I agree with you to somewhat, because yes, we have got some industrial in, but you have to be realistic. The average Bahamian in Freeport, their concept of income is true tourism. True tourism.
That's not the port.
I'm not hearing you. I'm sorry.
I'm saying that's them. Their focus may be touristic, but that's not the port, though. The port has been trying to get industry here. In fact, I have argued with the port principals that they have said to me that Edwards and George never thought Freeport should be a touristic center. Never thought so. That's what they have said to me.
I totally agree with that.
Well, another point I wanted to ask, if you agree with that, go ahead.
In terms of the leasing and the selling of property in Freeport, right? Am I correct that the port leases the land in Freeport, the city of Freeport? There's under lease.
You're not correct.
I'm not correct. So it's not under lease. They actually purchased the property.
Sorry. The port, as the Hawkesbury Creek Agreement provides for some 2,000 acres of port of property to be leased from the government. The rest of it was purchased outright.
Okay, so the part that they lease, they can't sell. The ones that they purchase outright, they can sell.
Yeah, but the parts that they lease, they ain't for sale. That's the creek and them kind of things, though.
Okay, because actually I have some property there, and I was wondering how can you sell me something that you lease?
So yeah. Okay, what they sold you, they own outright.
Okay, okay. Thanks for the information. But like I said, I feel like we have the infrastructure in Freeport in terms of the highways and the quality of the road, that if we really put emphasis on just making Freeport somewhere that just, if we just focus on manufacturing something, I don't know. We have so much silica here. How about chips? You need silica to make chips. We send the silica to other people to make chips. Why not focus on just making Freeport the center where we just make silicone chips? We can literally provide the world with chips.
I got you, brother. I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you calling. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to take a break, pay our respects, our great sponsors, and then we come back. We've got a couple of texts. We'll read them for you. You're listening to Sea Live and Shabbat Line, your host. We'll be back after this break.
I'm not afraid to take a stand, take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm.
Being an investor has its benefits, like the margin loan facility at RF. I can use my government bonds, company shares, and other investments to access cash when I need it, at a low interest rate of 7.5%, flexible repayment terms, and a 48-hour approval time. I can easily get the cash I need for travel, home renovations, or to purchase additional shares. This is just one of the ways RF keeps my money working for me. Learn more about the RF margin loan at rfgroup.com.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Wherever you are in the world, Cleveland Clinic's world-class care is here for you. From Ohio to Florida to London, Cleveland Clinic treats thousands of patients every year, ranked number 2 in the world by Newsweek. You can trust our caregivers to enhance your experience across each step of your treatment journey. For every care in the world, learn more at clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
I'm not afraid to take a stand. Everybody, come take my hand. We'll walk this road together through the storm. Whatever weather, cold or warm, let me know that you're not alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Z Live. I'm Shabago Lang, your host. So glad you could join us here today. Let me just read this text for you real quick. It says, Mr. Lang, can you explain to us what you think the problem is that is preventing Freeport from moving forward? If you were hired by this government today as an advisor, what be some things you would advise? I don't have the time for that today, but that's a good question. This text is awesome show again, Mr. Lang, you got to tiptoe and tread lightly with the Freeport issue today, laugh out loud. Please stay strong, continue to ask these questions that we desperately need answers to. Maybe one day we will get the answers to them. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Mr. Lang. You're welcome. Thank you. Says, Mr. Lang, I didn't read the excerpt, but from what I gather from what you read was the gentleman said investors are frustrated or discouraged, not prevented from investing. I can't speak the specifics of what he's saying, but for example, if I have to pay duplicate fees to the port that I have to pay to the government, then I certainly would think twice about investing. But that's not true, though. That's not true. See, again, I said to you before, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but Hutchison is here, Shipyard is here, Buckeye is here, the from the chemical company. So none of them are here. So I mean, so it doesn't follow. You don't have to pay duplicates. You pay port, you pay licensing fee to the port, that's it. That's it. You pay nothing to the government. You pay service charges to the port, no property taxes to the government. I live here. So that doesn't arise. So he's saying investors are, he didn't say investors are frustrated. He said it, he was talking about what investors seem to be, says from the view of investors, almost every clause of the Hawksbury Creek Agreement that was designed to attract them into the port area has, over decades, been negated. So he didn't say that you can't, he's exactly saying that they are not being attracted. That's exactly what he's saying. He's not saying that they can't invest. He's saying they are not attracted to the place. Right? And so I'm saying, why? What does that mean? Like, why? What has been duplicated? So because you could get a hotel incentive in 8 Mile Rock, and you could get the same thing in Freeport, means you can't choose Freeport? A place that has better infrastructure, better port harbors, and so forth? Doesn't follow. Does not make sense. Sorry. This text says, so now I think from a global perspective, Freeport is one, only the best kept secret in the world as it relates to being a tax support authority during the market Freeport. Says Bahamas government, that's the problem. Says thank you for having the courage to share this. We must spread that out. So again, if for instance the Port Authority's principals could come to me and say, or come to you, I don't have to come to me, and say, listen, you know, Shibaru, being a disinvestor who wants to invest, they are telling us, because you all have incentives in that corner of the Bahamas and that corner of the Bahamas, we ain't coming to Freeport. Or they say, well, I would come, but you all frustrating my efforts because the port can't do this and the next thing. Unless they can say that, how am I supposed to buy Mr. Miller's argument? Because he says so? Because he says so? No, we don't operate in that kind of world, man. You got to walk away in a world where you are evidential information to support your arguments, right? And we do not. It remains unclear why Freeport is not more economically robust today. It remains unclear why it is. I mean, on the fundamentals of life, you know why it is. It doesn't have the economic activity taking place. It doesn't have the investment taking place. But why that investment is not taking place remains unclear. The government says it's the port. The port didn't say it's the government, but the port hinted at some issues with the government. And then now Mr. Millard is outrightly saying, well, the government then duplicate the port attractiveness in other places and spaces and frustrating the port's effort. And if they would just let the port act like the port, then the Hawksbury Creek Agreement intended, then we'd have no difficulty. Okay, we can look at the Hawksbury Creek Agreement one day. You've been listening to Z Live. I'm Shibaru, I'm your host. I trust and hope you have a great evening. God bless you. Stay tuned. We'll be back to East Fair's Life. Good evening.
Everybody, come take my hand, come take my hand.
We'll walk this road together through the storm, whatever weather, cold or warm.
Send me no alone. Holla if you feel like you've been down the same road.
This is 6.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.